Amen. Who is your enemy? We're talking about a diverse congregation, and the things that come with that is that you may begin to realize that you have feelings inside there. Feelings towards certain people, feelings towards different things and different things in society in terms of how you view that. And you may think that, oh, I can just get away with that by just going to church and pushing that away. We mean business when we talk about building a diverse congregation. But these issues of your enemy is not just the fact that it's another culture, another person away. Sometimes is you've got to start with you inside. What is getting in the way of you hearing God when you're dealing with conflict? And may I ask, do we like conflict? So the way we deal with conflict is we try not to think about it too much. We try to get away from that quickly. And yet, godly conflict resolution is needed. Because we don't want to act like we come to church and sit together and have a good time, but we never walk through our issues and become superficial and become such a nightmare when you're dealing with stuff like that. So today I want to talk a little bit about that, because it's about engaging again, really valuing the differences. Not just accepting the differences, but valuing those differences. And engaging on a relationship level and praying for one another and going beyond just, well, we're just different, we're just that, but really learning to touch people because we value the difference and God is going to work anyway. Does that make sense? So having said that, I want to talk about godly conflict resolution. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That how you present conversations, that can change the whole situation. Or how you talk to that person can change the same situation. Okay. For example, when you drive across Africa in some places, the policemen would ask for a bribe. How you talk to them made the difference. If you are humble, say, listen, I don't have money. I remember once being stopped and telling the guy, I'm a minister, and I go to church, and I can't give you money. He says, I go to church too. What are you talking about? I said, well, frankly, I can't give you anything. He said, do you have water? It's supposed to be in money. I literally took up a bottle and gave him water, and he looked at me in a very offensive way, but I was very calm and peaceful as I did this conversation. Because he has the power to say, you're going nowhere. You sit over here. And on that particular day, that conversation went smooth and I left. Another day, we had another conversation going. Same scenario, but I was like, I did nothing wrong. What's the deal? And I was there for another 2 hours. Yeah, he's doing something wrong. But I have to take the responsibility on how I deal with that. And church, there's a lot that is going to come your way today, tomorrow, and the day after. It's how you deal with it that gives you the results you want to get. If you don't deal with it properly, you're going to look at the mistakes that are going on and you'll never come round. You get stuck in conflict. And when you get stuck in conflict, you create enemies in your heart, in your mind, in your attitude. You have so many enemies that you're not a happy person. So let's talk about this for a moment. Let's get this going. Be gentle and humble when dealing with conflict and issues of that nature. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you are godly, should gently and humbly help the person back into the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourselves. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. I'll spend a lot of time this month talking about just how to resolve conflict and get in a good place as we build God's church and become what we need to be. But here he starts that by saying, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back into the right path. It's how you do it. One of the reasons why so many people are afraid of discipling or one another relationships is because of how it was done. And yet today we see clearly we can't build if we're on our own. We can't build if we're not building relationships. And so it says clearly here that you have to be gentle and humble. You know, gentle is a tough thing to do. I mean, yesterday I was talking to my wife and she was asking me something. And I said, well, and she said, wait. And I said, what happened was the tone of voice. As she looked at me, I said, oh, I think I was raising my voice a little bit. And I said, wow, that can be heard. And then I was in another shop where while the car was being worked on, I was in this shop and I was watching people. And this conversation was going on the phone. And as she had the phone, you could tell she was not getting gentle at all. And that was a mirror for me. It was not an opportunity to judge her. It was a mirror of how you look like when you're not gentle. And I realize there's a big calling here. We have to keep growing. It's a growth process that we have to keep making. It's not something you attain. You keep growing and keep making in your progress of spirituality. And then it says, and then humbly restore them. That's the hard part. I'm right. Why should I be humble? I should tell you as it is. Then we have all these cliches, the tooth hats and all that stuff. Well, I don't know where you get that from the Bible. That's a cliche somewhere. It's not in the Bible. This is a cliche we carry, the tooth hats. Well, the Bible doesn't talk about it like that. Tell the truth, love, and goes on and on. So we have to learn to do that well to build what God wants us to be like. And then he goes on and says, into the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation in yourself, because that happens when you judge that person. What you hate is what you become. I was in another meeting and a brother was confessing some sin about something. I can't go to the details. And the brother says, I've never struggled with that. How long have you been as a minister? And he went on and on and put him down. Then that went, and we're like, you don't want to be talking like that to this guy. Fast forward, 1 year later, he was right there struggling so hard and couldn't beat the same sin. When you judge, you become the very thing you hate. You cannot change by judging. You can only change by showing compassion. That's how you walk with us. So when your fear touches someone's pain, it becomes pity. When your love touches someone's pain, it becomes compassion. What's going on in your heart? Are you afraid? Because when you're afraid, it just becomes pity. And you don't help someone to move when you're in that place. But when you have love, there's compassion, and you can do something to move someone. If someone is lost and is trying to find God, you can only help them if you show them compassion. You cannot help someone by just showing pity to them. You can't help a lost person like that. You have to show them compassion and move them forward. In the same way, when we're dealing with difficult issues, you've got to learn to be compassionate and work towards moving forward. Does that make sense? So what are you dealing with? Many of us are afraid, so afraid we cannot even bring ourselves to deal with things in our own hearts. We cannot confront the sin inside us, confront issues inside us. Why? Because we are afraid. So we end up having a pity party going on in our lives. But if we really want change, we have to come to a place of conviction. Says this can change. But do this in gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live, because you belong to Christ. All this is done because of Jesus Christ, not because of us. It has to be done because of Christ, not because of me, not because of you. It has to be done because of Jesus Christ. And you do it respectfully. You know, it's a hard thing when people are trying to have... The other day, again, I'm going to give you enough stories today. I pulled up in a gas station. I'm trying to get gas. And there was a fight going on like nobody's business. Between someone that was in the... Okay, the owner of the gas station and someone had come to get gas. And the conversation was going on. And the words that were said, I could not say them because we have children right here. And I went back and forth, got my gas, and I was trying to walk through that, and they were going back and forth. And I tried to cool one person. Then I remembered, this is not my fight. I need to walk away before it gets too far. And the point I'm trying to make is that they weren't being respectful. It was as simple as gas number one or two. What did you say? And that became a big thing. But there was no respect. There was anger. There was insults. And there was all kind of stuff. You know, it doesn't say in this place they have to earn respect. Does it say that? He has to earn my respect. No. The Bible simply says respect one another. Even in marriage, he has to earn my respect. Or she has to earn my respect. No, it doesn't say that. It says respect them because of Jesus Christ. Not because he's not man enough. He's not woman enough. No, respect them because of Jesus Christ. Things don't change because people ended. People change because they see God being, the word of God being practiced. That's when change begins to happen. That's what happened there. So they didn't do a good job. And so the fight went on and I left because I didn't want to be a part of a witness that was going to happen if anything went down the wrong direction. I said, I want to go home. Secondly, take responsibility for your conduct. And we have to take responsibility for how we behave and what we do and what we do not do right. Then that's how you change. The Bible says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. You know, that's a high calling. There are times in my life when I got very hot with people. And for the longest time, I used to blame those people. And I thought, I got here because of this guy, because this guy. How could I have spent with you 18 years and it became like this? How could I, whatever, 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 whatever. Then one day I had an epiphany. I said, you know, that may have happened, but the way I am feeling and continue to feel is my responsibility. It is true that maybe happened, but the way I'm stuck, that is my responsibility. And the question is this. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get satisfaction of a job well done. Do you realize why we fight a lot? Because we are comparing. And because we are not allowing God to be the source of our fulfillment. If God is the source of our fulfillment, that will not be a problem. And you won't compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. You know, it's funny how it's easy to blame the driver that cuts you in front, right? It's funny how it's easy to blame your wife, your husband, your children, to blame your co-worker. That's easy. But when you read the Bible, it says these sins are from inside. It's funny how it's easy to blame the weather, how people are dressed badly, and all that stuff. Well, the Bible says sin comes from inside. So it's your responsibility to take charge of what's going on. Does that make sense? If you don't take that responsibility, you blame and blame and blame and blame. And we never move forward when we're trying to build this diverse congregation and we blame each other based on race, culture, and all those issues. We can never go forward. Why? Because we blame. We never take responsibility of how we are feeling. And when you do that, change happens. We can reach out to anyone, any color, any person. Why? Because you own your life. You say, God, you can walk with me. You can use me. But when you don't do that, you blame the other person. You blame why they're not open. You blame why you can't touch them. Why? Because it's not your problem. The Bible says it all comes from inside. So is there something that you need to take more responsibility. Maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's at home, maybe it's your children. It's easy to blame them for how they behaved, but is there something you need to take responsibility about? Maybe it's just reaching out to people. They're not open. No, reach out to them. They may not look like you, but reach out to them and see what happens. Take responsibility and see how that happens. You cannot, because when you don't take responsibility, essentially you're disempowering yourself. You know, I remember growing up and my dad raised me. And because my mom died at a very early age of my life, so I was very much in my dad's bedroom for the longest time. And my dad would come and ask me, I would wet the bed, and my dad would come and ask, "What happened here in the water? I mean, what happened? Who made the bed wet?" And I would say, "Well, I think somebody came at night and poured water on it." My dad, being the guy he was, he'd just laugh at me and walk away. Well, you know, who did it? I'm the one who did it. But he would just walk away. I never took responsibility. But eventually, I figured what was going on, and I got the right rhythm in place. We can be playing that life sometimes. In our marriage, in our lives, in evangelism, in anything, in our work, we're not really saying, "I did it. Somebody else came and poured water." Because the idea of accepting that I did it is overwhelming. Why is it overwhelming? Because in our mind, if I accept, I'm a bad person. No! Jesus loved you even when you didn't deserve it. That is something you do that you can change. That's not the same as you. Does that make sense? Do we get that disassociation, the difference of it? That the fact that you do something wrong doesn't make you a bad person. But we are socialized to think if you do one thing wrong, then you're a bad person and you're no good. So we are overwhelmed by accept. We can't accept anything. We can say, "No, that was me." We are like, "No, I can't say that." So we're even afraid to say sorry. And that just keeps eating at us because we're not taking responsibility in changing. Anything you don't like, you've got to go to God and ask God to help you make changes. If you don't do that, we get stuck. Now you move on, but you didn't really move on. You got stuck. The moment you take responsibility for everything in your life is the moment you can change anything in your life. It doesn't mean you blame yourself for how you're treated, but you realize, I've got to walk with God on this one. I've got to move forward. If you don't do that, you get stuck. Does that make sense? So it's very important that we understand that aspect as we're building this diverse congregation, that we take responsibility for reaching across, for touching one another, for dealing with how we feel, not blaming each other, but just growing and becoming better. That is, you take responsibility for who you are. Seek private victories. Okay, I need to come to the end here. Seek private victories. Matthew 18:15 says, If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Amen? That if you have a problem in your house with your spouse, go and talk with your spouse first. Amen? If you have a problem with if we're single, we talk to each other first. Or any other person, we go talk privately first. Amen? Now we talk through this stuff and point out the offenses. If the other person listens and confesses it, confesses simply agrees with what it is. Okay? For some of us, we're looking for them to fall down. For some of us, we're looking for them not to feel sorry, just to really break down. It doesn't work like that. I mean, the other day I was talking again to another guy on phone, and I was complaining about the service they were giving me, and I went back and forth, says, "Can you wait?" And I waited for a good 10 plus, and went on to about 25 minutes. Well, I was doing something else, but so I kept it. When they came online, I said, "Why did we have to wait that long?" And for a while, we were back and forth. I'm like, "I was just hoping you can say, sorry, I kept you that long." That's all I was hoping. Now, that never came, but I was happy anyway because I said what I had to say. So for some of us, if they don't agree, we now just get stuck. How can that be? How can that be? You got to realize that that's their issue. You've done your issue. You've got to keep going forward. You can't get stuck about they don't invite me into their house. Nobody has ever invited me in the house. Can you invite them in your house? Whatever them are. Because it's the body of Christ. We say them. Why don't we invite each other in our houses? Let's do that. Does that make sense? But you get stuck by saying nobody does this and you don't do anything about it. We've got to privately do these things. Talk about it. Get over it. Talk about it, overcome it, and become better. It's very important that we do this one-on-one. It's amazing. But it's overwhelming for most people to talk about how they feel because we are trained to have flight or fight. You know that feeling of flight or fight? You want to go talk to your boss about a pay rise, and you know how you feel inside yourself? You keep sucking yourself for months on end. I'm going to talk to him about a pay rise. And you can't do it because you're in flight or fight mode. And that comes to other relationships and other places. You're just flight or fight mode, and you don't do well. No, you've got to submit yourself to Christ and go in there with an open mind and heart, peacefully, with everything we talked earlier, and it'll go well. And if it doesn't go well, at least you tried. And they told you no. At least you know where they stand. And you come up with a game plan and say, maybe I need to move to another place or whatever it is. What you don't want to do is triangulation. Speaking to the third person about something that you should be addressed directly with that other person. That's not healthy for a church or for anything, for a family, for children. Don't do triangulation. Because when you do, here's what happens. We end up with victims in the church and we end up with heroes and villains. Meanwhile, all the needs and interests are stuck in the middle. Nothing is moving forward. That's not what we're building. We've got to move forward. But you do that by going back here. You do that, and let's talk about this. And then you don't do triangulation. And you come away from that and get this right. So we don't have victims and heroes within us, but rather we have a body of Christ that is doing well. You don't want to do that in a family. It is very destructive. You want to make sure if the children are having an issue with one each other, they talk to one another, not go talk to X and then go talk. You don't want to do that. It becomes toxic. It creates insecurity in the children. You want to do that in a family group setup where you're not dealing with stuff. It creates all kinds of insecurities. Deal with it the way God teaches it. Meanwhile, that way, all the interests and needs are taken care of. And there are no victims, there are no villains, and there are no heroes. Because we are all disciples of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to be His family. God bless you.